everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Ringside Rundown Podcast, brought to you by TWM.news. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on, my friend?
Not too much. I survived my birthday.
Yes, I was going to ask you, how was your birthday?
It was good. I spent it mostly with my friends, so that was nice. I had my parents over for the weekend, so it was a pretty good weekend, pretty good start to the week, and 27 doesn't feel different yet, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, man, 27, you're such a baby. You're so lucky.
And you're going to say that.
You're so lucky. The random body aches haven't probably hit yet, so they usually hit when you hit your 30s.
Oh, I played softball for 10 years, so I think I've had body aches earlier than most people should, but oh well.
Yeah.
We'll survive.
So it was a big weekend this past weekend. Everybody had a pay-per-view this weekend, and it was a busy weekend of wrestling. For those that are new to this program, we are a professional wrestling podcast where we answer your questions about anything that involves wrestling. So we have a huge mailbag segment, almost like close to 30 questions.
Yeah, probably over that, actually.
Yeah, just about everything that's happened this past weekend. I mean, WWE had Night of Champions, NXT had Battleground, and AEW had Double or Nothing. And it was just a packed weekend of just nonstop wrestling. The timeline was going crazy trying to dissect everything. So we're going to jump right into it. Like I said, we have a ton of questions. So sit back, grab a drink, make yourself a sandwich, enjoy the ride, and get ready to formulate some questions of your own that you can ask a later episode. So why don't we get right into it?
Let's get right into it. Which also, before we even start, I just saw, I was going through Twitter, that apparently AEW just decided to break the news that Punk's coming back at Collision on the 17th. Not that
so
we're
he's back.
Not that we're surprised, like the worst kept secret, but sure, why not?
He's back. Finally that discourse can, you know, dissipate, and finally, you know, hopefully this is something new where he actually decides to work and get along with everybody. Because the one thing that's always in the back of my mind is for Punk is like the window is closing. He's in his 40s, you know, and if AEW wants to continue this momentum with younger talent, you know, they could overlap him in the ring at one point. I mean, his first run in AEW was kind of, it was kind of okay. It was marred with a lot of injuries, you know, so
yeah.
So I wonder if his body can hold up this second go around.
Well, it depends on how the fans are gonna welcome him back too. Apparently, it was a mixed reaction, supposedly, during the broadcast. Well, I'll have to go back and listen to it, but
yeah, he's gonna get a good reaction in Chicago, no doubt.
Yeah, that might not translate to other cities, maybe.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
who knows? But all right, actually, back to the actual questions. We're gonna start with Jeff's. So Jeff, thank you as always. His first more comment is to say congratulations to Tam Nakano becoming only the second woman in Stardom's history to hold both the World and Wonder of Stardom titles at the same time. And the only other Joshi to do that was Mayu Iwatani. So I'd say that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
For like, definitely. Is all the different Joshis that have come through there, and for her to only be the second one to hold both of them. Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty big feat. So
that's
congrats
awesome
to Tam. And then he said, now that Fight TV has fixed the Hanakamura Memorial show, everyone should go and watch it. It was a fun, touching memorial to the late Hana. Even if Fight completely fucked it up on the original stream and made it really nearly unwatchable. Yeah, I didn't get to watch it, but I did hear Jeff say that it was a bit of a mess. It was very like jumpy, and like the feed was just terrible. So hopefully sounds like it's fixed now, so I would definitely say go watch the Hanakamura tribute show. They always seem to put on very good memorial tributes to her, so we would recommend it.
For sure.
And now Saray seems to have returned to form since returning to Japan with a successful return show and a great showing at Hanakamura Pink's. What needs to change in WWE so performers like Saray can have successful WWE careers and not be forced to go back to Japan?
just kind of, you kind of have to let them be themselves, kind of, and not really have ideas for them, but kind of bounce their own ideas of how they want to portray themselves in America.
You know? Maybe stop blaming the language barrier and everything, because EO's doing just fine.
Yeah, and I think more people are concerned with the quality of like how things are in the ring rather than whether they can speak English very well. I think if they can do some amazing stuff, because we know a lot of, especially like the Joshi talent that's over in Japan, if they were to, and they have, like, on the independent level, they've come over to the States and just taken the world by storm. So like with the WWE polished product, like, just let them be themselves and not worry about a language barrier. Just worry about the quality of the ring and of the in-ring talent. That's why I think if they would have just let Saray be herself and try not to, like, gimmick her so much, she probably would have been successful.
Yeah, the Japanese schoolgirl thing didn't go over very well, understandably. Nah. Not good. I feel like with the old regime, it always seemed to fall back on the excuse of the language barrier, which is, again, I think a very stupid excuse, because if you can wrestle just fine in the ring, who cares? Because, hell, how many times have we seen Io Shirai cut promos in Japanese and people are still like, oh, wow. I don't know what you said, but it was like, it's like, so I hate that that's an excuse, but yeah, I completely agree with you. Just let them be themselves and let them actually have input into their characters and not just stereotype them into very bad stereotypes, because we don't like that at all. But I'm glad Saraya is doing better. It's a shame that that could not happen in WWE, but as long as she is doing well in Japan, that's all you could really ask for. All right, so this next question is surprisingly not the one I want to talk about the most, but I still want to talk about it. So Jeff said, I'm sure that I'm excited about Shayna Baszler finally holding gold again on the main roster, as yes, I am, of course. But how long do we have to wait for a singles title run for her? It's long overdue, but credit to her for doing what the company asked of her. Yeah, I would like to think that that is going to be rewarded at some point, but I have a feeling, and this is just me, I have a feeling that Ronda just wanted to have a tag title run with her because they're close friends, and whatever Ronda wants, Ronda seems to get, apparently. That's what at least the gist that I've got of it from backstage, like rumors and whatnot. But, I mean, Shayna has a title again, so you know what? I can't really complain. I'm happy. Some people are not, but you know what? I don't really care, so.
Yeah, it's just hard for me because it feels like those titles are cursed. It's just nobody's ever been able to elevate them.
Then it's like, please don't get hurt. Don't get hurt, please. Because if not, if she does, I'm going to be mad. But
obviously, we don't want anyone to get hurt. But it's just, they really have to figure out a way to make those titles interesting, or it's not going to do anything. Because I really feel like not even Ronda Rousey can save them, because like she's just kind of getting middle of the road reactions. She's not getting that big superstar reaction that, like, when she first came out, you know, it was a big superstar treatment, superstar reaction. Now she's just kind of one of the girls, you know? And not that that's a bad thing, but, like, it's all about elevating the title, so hopefully they can do that.
Yeah, it sounded like she didn't do terrible in that match. Obviously, I was out, so I didn't get to see it, but I did. I saw the ending, which that was pretty neat. But, I do have to agree with Jeff, though. As much as I do love the fact that Shayna has gold again, as she deserves, she needs a singles title. They need to do something with her. And it's Triple H, so he knows what he has in Shayna. I mean, he booked one of the best NXT Women's Championship like runs, plural, of all time. So he knows what he has in Shayna. So hopefully it's just, as always, which I feel like we always have to say this, patience, if you're a Shayna Baszler fan. So, yeah, it's great. It's a great time. But Shayna has some gold now, so I'm not going to complain too much. In another how long must we wait question, now that Asuka has, as I would say, shockingly dethroned Bianca, I did not see it coming at all.
Yeah, I didn't see that. That was a swerve.
I mean, a good one. I wasn't opposed to it, but I'm like, you could have done this the first time, but whatever. Can we finally get Asuka versus Io Shirai? I know I've said it before, but this match needs to happen more than once, and it needs to be a long program. I agree. I mean, how many times have they teased it over the last, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. Just the match itself at Night of Champions was just a wow moment.
Yeah.
You didn't see it coming. The match was okay. The finish of the match was so creatively done with the mist on the fingers and then the fingers in the eyes. Mm-hmm. It was just a brilliant way to do things. And everybody, I know when it happened, my mouth just opened like, wow, they really did that. So, but as far as like the question, yeah, like you said, we've been clamoring for this since EO got to the main roster. Once they hit the ring at the same time, it was almost like a ooh moment. Like, you know, the potential that you have there. And there's some history there too, between them being tag partners in Japan, you know, obviously coming here to the States and going to WWE. There's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of meat on that bone that you can really have a nice program for. So yeah, I would definitely be down for that.
Yeah. I hopefully we don't have to wait too long for it. I mean, what better time than now, especially with Asuka having the title.
For sure.
Who do we feel is the best heel in wrestling right now, not counting Roman Reigns, who is in God mode as a heel, which, I mean, that's fair. Jeff thinks it's either MJF or Austin Theory because they are both annoying as hell and you want to see them lose. It would have to be MJF, I would think.
MJF definitely at the top, but no, can't forget about my man Dominic Mysterio.
No,
just the reactions that he, just the visceral reaction that he gets anytime he tries to speak into a microphone. He still gets it, and the thing is, like, his in-ring work is getting better too, so it's starting to click in jail. Like, it's so cool to see someone so young, you know, a second generation superstar, being able to just find his own way and kind of get out of the shadow of his father and make a career at such a young age. Imagine how good he's going to be in the next 5 years. But he just has that aura, you know. You kind of just want to see him get punched in the face, you know.
Yeah.
And he's cocky, and, you know, like I said, anytime he gets on the microphone, it's just instant booze and instant heat. But MJF, he's at this point, it's like a masterful level. You got to give him props. You know, it's at a masterful level. He's just, it just comes natural to him just to be a dickhead.
Yeah, it's just like, damn, it's too easy for him. I don't know how he can do it, but damn, does he do it very well,
to the point where, like, you don't want to approach him because you don't want to get roasted.
You don't want to get completely talk shit on.
As a fan, I'd be like, I'd skip that autograph line.
You're like, you know what, I'm good, I'll just look from a distance, I guess. But I would not want to pee in that line at all. Even if you're a fan, he still hates you anyway, so it's like, but then again, people like that, I guess. They pay money for that, so
weird.
To each their own, I suppose. All right, so this is the question, and I know we have maybe one or two other versions of this question, but Jeff asked it first. How fucking awesome is it that Jade Cargill has finally been dethroned? And also, kudos to me for calling who would finally defeat her. The prophecy has been fulfilled, Eric. Our Lord and Savior Statlander is back. Oh, that was so great.
The only gripe is, like, it came at the expense of Jade's best match to date, in my opinion. She really gave me something which I've been clamoring for since the beginning. Give me something other than the look and the presentation and the dominance. She looked vulnerable at times. She looked like Taya was, you know, the experience over her was kind of the mismatch, but she held her own. As far as, like, the surprise, it definitely was a big surprise, and she got a huge reaction. The fans definitely came out of their seats for her.
I did too.
Yeah, I bet, because it's funny. As soon as it happened, I was like, "Oh, I can hear that all the way from here." You know? Your mom is DMing me, and then I DM'd you. Are you okay? Because, like,
no.
It was a cool moment, and the best part, like, it was the moment, like, finally, okay, this pay-per-view is at least getting back on the right track, because up until that point, the pay-per-view wasn't all that good. You know?
It was very weird. I heard, before we go back to me just screaming about Statlander for like 20 minutes, I did hear, and I had noticed up until that point that the crowd seemed very like quiet, and I'm like, you guys paid money to be here. Why are you not like, you know, doing anything? And I don't know if you saw it like on Twitter too, but there were people saying like, no, it was actually loud in that arena. So clearly either, some people are just full of it, or AEW needs to work on their audio presentation, because if it was actually that loud, then AEW did a very bad job of mixing their audio, because it sounded like it literally did not sound, that place didn't come alive until Statlander showed up. That's it.
Yeah. It was real weird. Like, it was so, in the first half of the pay-per-view, just crowd wise, it was so unlike in a typical AEW crowd. They're usually rambunctious, very rowdy, very energetic. And it was just kind of like they were sitting on their hands like it was a WWE show.
Like, guys, do something. Anything.
I don't know what to attribute it to. I mean, like I said, the first half of the pay-per-view, to be honest, really didn't give people a lot to cheer about. You know, it was just kind of there. I mean, one example, you look at the finish to the Adam Cole Jericho match.
Yeah, that was weird.
That reaction to that finish, not that it was a bad finish, but the reaction to that finish was like a wet fart, you know?
Yeah, because it didn't make any sense. It's like, okay, so if it's an unsanctioned match where the ref's really only there to just count the pin or the submission or whatever, it was up to the referee's decision for an unsanctioned match. It just didn't make sense. It was, the match itself wasn't bad though. That's the thing. It's like, it's not like the first half of the show was horrifically offensively bad.
No.
It was kind of there. Was it kind of like I feel like it may have been a mix of the crowd wasn't into it, so the match didn't seem as like appealing, I guess, or it was like the matches didn't seem like as good as they could have been because the crowd wasn't into it for whatever reason. I mean, for God's sake, the Battle Royal, half the arena was still empty at that point. It wasn't good, but it just happened to finally pick up during, I mean, it kind of picked up a little bit during the Jade and Taya match, which it was not bad. I will admit, it definitely was Jade's best match to date. I guess the only like, I don't know, I guess you want to say nitpicky thing I had, like I didn't like about it, was they kind of fell into their old habits towards the end where, okay, well, Taya hits Road to Valhalla, which I'm like, I'll admit, I'm like, oh, wow, are they going to do this? Like, is this actually going to happen? And then I'm going to look like an absolute fool for screaming for like that Stat was going to win for like months now. But okay, so they got me on that one. But then it was just like, oh, boom, Jade, it's over. It's like, give us a little more drama. Like, that's the kind of stuff that just, I guess, annoyed us about like Jade's matches, where it was like there was barely ever any back and forth. It was just like, okay, well, the challenger is going to get some offense in, and then like, oh, boom, it's over. Like, Jaded, it's in. And I thought we were finally going to get more of a back and forth kind of match. Like, it would have made it more interesting if Taya would have kicked out of Jaded, because that never happens ever.
Right.
But no, it was just, oh, boom, it's over. I'm like, okay, well, we can't seem to like break that habit, I guess. But then Zach came back and then it was fine. So I was like, that made up for it.
All's well.
I told you this in the Twitter DMs, and this is full disclaimer for the listeners, and this is not an exaggeration. My mom could even attest to this too. I was physically shaking. Like, my hands were shaking. I was that excited. It was great. It was nice to see her finally, but I didn't think they were actually going to have her win the title, so it was just even better. Great early birthday present, I must say, but I don't want to get too far into it because I feel like we have a question more or less about her title reign coming up, so I'll save all my good rants for later. But yeah, I could not have made me happier, let's put it that way. That was so good. It was just very good.
Awesome.
And now the listeners can stop hearing me preach about how Statlander is going to be Jade, and like the prophecy has been fulfilled, so we can move on to the next thing. Now they can listen to me yell about Shayna getting a singles title until it actually happens, but we'll see. All right, so we got a bit of a supposedly a hot take here. So for anyone that watched NXT Battleground, Jeff was not thrilled that Tiffany Stratton won the title at all.
Really?
He says we traded one no talent champion for another. Why did WWE have to put a title on Tiffany Stratton? I know. Why did they have to put a title on her? Nothing she has ever done has been impressive to me, and I feel like she's just another generic blonde character in the company. I will say this. Am I the biggest fan of her? No, because again, it's just the characters, not my thing at all. But I can at least admit that she's definitely improved. I think we even said last week, her improvement is what I think everybody wanted Jade to be.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
So I feel like the way the tournament was shaken out, once she won, it's like, all right, this is, we know. Once she made it to the finals, we're like, all right, we know who's winning this one. So I still wish it would have been Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez in the finals. That's just me. But I mean, I guess we'll just kind of like what we did with the Jade, with Jade when she won. We'll just wait and see what happens. But I will say she's definitely improved. Am I her biggest fan? No, but she has definitely done a lot better than when we used to talk about her, where it's like, why the hell is she even on TV? This is a waste of time. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I really enjoyed the match. Like, you know, once Lyra went for that leapfrog and got clipped on her knee, and it was like a bullseye for Stratton, she really worked that knee over really, really good. And that was like the focal point of the match. You know, Lyra's knee getting banged up and Tiffany Stratton working it really good. She's really athletic, you know, and I think for me, it's like taking a diva from the Attitude Era and giving her some wrestling ability.
Which
I think is going to carry her far. You know, she's kind of like a raw talent, you know. She's got some good training behind her. I think she was trained by Greg Gagne, which is pretty cool. You know, and that moonsault is just insane, dude. When she hit it the second time and she landed it spot on, I was just like, wow.
It's impressive. But
yeah, and I think NXT is very babyface heavy when it comes to the women. So it's going to be good for her because there's a lot they can do there for her reign. I think we saw a little bit of that on last night on NXT when they all kind of dumped her out of the ring and she was by herself. You know, there's a lot of different directions that they can go. HBK is doing a real solid job of booking the women, I will say, and you know, at least delivering some good matches. So I'm excited. Like you said, there's some progression there with Stratton. Maybe the hot take, you know, that she's not liked is she's playing that heel, you know. You're not supposed to like her. You know, so just give it some time. I think and at the end, if they give her a long, meaningful reign with a lot of different challengers and she can kind of, you know, get her feet wet and become a jack of all trades, that we'll see some good progression. And you know, in 2 years from now, we will look back and say, wow, she really did develop into a top tier talent.
Yeah, I completely agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. Just give it time. Who should Seth Rollins feud with first? Jeff would like Seth and Finn to go at it.
Yeah, anybody from the Judgment Day. Finn would be great. Damian Priest would be. Yeah, because the Judgment Day is really hot right now, which is crazy. Who'd think we'd ever say something like that, you know, in this first iteration? But they're just like a really hot commodity at this point. And obviously, we saw how good Damian Priest can be when you give him the ball and let him run with it. You know, but that's the cool thing about this title is that it's going to be a workhorse title. As far as what I read, the plan is to have Seth Rollins on TV at least every week. You know, so we're going to be seeing the title a lot. You know, it's going to be defended, you know, most of the time, you know, obviously on the pay-per-views and stuff like that. Man, who could his first feud be with?
I would honestly want to say Damian just to see him step up to the plate again, because I know he would do a really good job with it.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty cool. I think that would work out really well. Seth Rollins is one of those people, he could work with anybody and kind of adapt to their style. So you have a guy like Damian who's a little bit bigger, more of a powerhouse. You know, Seth Rollins will be able to combat that with his speed and quickness and his athletic ability. It would be good. I mean, but Seth is on that level. I think we're going to be talking to him like the same way we talk about like Randy Orton. You know, he's just a consummate professional, knows how to get it done in the ring, can get it done with his eyes closed. I think Seth's on that level, you know, especially within, let's say, if he's in the WWE for the next 10 years, you know, he's going to be that next level guy for this generation that is just the consummate professional, the end all be all.
I agree. It's just you could, we always say you can wrestle a wet paper bag and make it look good. So,
yeah.
You could literally say anybody on that roster and be like, oh, yeah, that'd be actually a really good feud. So I would say anybody, but specifically I want to see Damian Priest.
For sure.
All right. So one final congratulations to Saki Kashima, who won her first singles title in Stardom by defeating Azumi and Fukigen Geth for the high-speed championship. So congrats to Saki. And thank you, Jeff, for sending me the pronunciations, just so I didn't fully mess it up on air. But, yeah, congrats to Saki. Yeah, right? I think I nailed it. He'll tell me one way or another if I screwed him up or not, but I think I did a pretty good job. Awesome. Keeping with the Joshi theme, with the New Japan Strong Women's title being made specifically for Mercedes Moné and then her going down with an injury, do we think that New Japan puts the title on her when she's healthy? And what do you see them doing with the title in the meantime? I personally hope not. I feel like that would just be way too obvious to be like, oh, well, as soon as she's healthy, she can get the title. Because I feel like that kind of just diminishes Willow's reign if she keeps it for a while. Because that'll just be like, oh, you were just the placeholder for it. Because Willow could hold that title and have a believable run with it. Like, she's no slouch. So I hope they treat the title as important around Willow's waist as they would with Mercedes. If not, it'll be blatantly obvious that they're not. So, yeah, I would say just keep treating it like the title is supposed to be a prestigious title, and maybe not right away give it to Mercedes, but have her and Willow have a feud for it, maybe. But don't just give it right back to her right away. I feel like that would just be kind of shitty, especially to Willow.
Yeah, but there's your story right there. Whenever Mercedes is back, you know, she kind of thinks like she can come in thinking that title was going to be hers, and that Willow is a placeholder, and Willow can fire back like, no way, I'm not a placeholder, I'm a real champion. And like you said, if they give her a couple defenses in the meantime, she can really build up a solid lineage, you know, for that first inaugural champion, which will benefit whatever match happens between her and Mercedes, because that match before the injury was actually really, really good.
Yeah. You know,
they had some chemistry there, which I was surprised. So, you know, there's that story right there. It's kind of written, but like you said, it would kind of be, it would be a little messed up if it's just like, it's kind of like what they did with Jinder Mahal, making him a placeholder champion.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, here, we're going to India, so here, you could be the champion, get the people on your side and whatever, whatnot. It's kind of the same thing. Placeholder championships never really work out, never do anybody any help. Yeah. And Willow's a special talent, you know?
Yeah.
She's special. She's just got it, you know? She's got that thing that gets the people on her side. She's quick, she's speed, she's got the power, she's you know, got it all together. So she could be a really viable champion if they go with it.
Yeah, so New Japan, if you're listening, take it seriously. Just because it isn't Mercedes doesn't mean it's second level. It can still be a top level title if you treat it the way you would have treated it if it was Mercedes. So
yeah,
that's our PSA for the night. Slightly depressing question. I feel like we kind of talked about this last week. What is with the injury bug striking yet again? First it was Mercedes, then we got Dakota, and even Jamie Hayter are all dealing with injuries, which, God, that was a whole mess, a Double or Nothing. But
yeah,
it feels like someone cursed these women's divisions with all these injuries. It feels like it. It really does. Liv's out too.
Yeah, Liv's out too. Alexa, it's not an injury, but Alexa's going to be out, obviously, for a very long time, announcing that she's pregnant, which is congratulations to her. That's pretty awesome. It's just they've taken a big hit. I think at one point before, like a couple weeks ago, it was at one point, there were 7 women in NXT all down with all ACL injuries.
Yeah, what the hell's going on down there? Like, damn.
It's just crazy. This injury bug is just going around. But like I said last week, and what I told you in the DMs, it's like this is the time where a lot of women have to step up and show their game and that they can carry the ball and run with it. That's the one thing about like NXT and even AEW at a point. They have a very deep roster of women. Yes. And you know, it just if you give it time, you could turn anybody into a star.
Yeah.
You know? If you give it time and attention, anybody can be a star. But yeah, it's just now is the time where a lot of women who are on the back burner, it's time for them to kind of step up, you know?
Right. The wrestling gods give and the wrestling gods take away. We get stat back, but we lose 5 other people. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Can't have it all, I guess. It's fine. And then funny, you already stole Jeff's last comment, which was congrats to Alexa. Now we know why she's been missing for a while. Yeah, that would definitely explain it.
Hey. Nice. Good. Congratulations to her husband. You know, this is a big moment, you know, so nothing but health and happiness to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are all of Jeff's questions. So thank you again, as always. We always appreciate the support. Let us move on. This is so weird using my computer for this instead of my phone. All right. So let's go for Mike's questions next. So this one I feel like we've touched on a little while ago, but it is more important now. Is it safe to say AEW's ranking system is out the window because Christian comes back and instantly gets a title shot and stat too, obviously? Yeah, I don't think they really care about the rankings anymore.
Yeah, I think they realize that the rankings kind of backed them into a corner in creative-wise.
Yeah, you know, they were done.
It was kind of a hindrance more than you know, helping them. And I could appreciate the fact that they want to make wins and losses mean something, you know, but you don't really need to put a numerical value to that and put it set in stone. Like, you need to have like 3-4 wins back to back before you challenge for a championship. If the time is right, the time is right. And definitely the time is right for Stat to come back and win that title and get that reaction that she did.
Exactly. But yeah, they never should have had the ranking system, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm glad it's gone, to say the least. Which event did we like more, Double or Nothing or Battleground? I didn't get to watch Battleground, so by default, I guess Double or Nothing. But I heard Battleground was good.
Battleground was very good. It was just, and much like Night of Champions too, it was very, very simple. You know, it wasn't anything too outrageous. You know, it was just very simple wrestling. And then Dijak and Ilya Dragunov are just there's something wrong with the both of them.
Need help.
Yeah, because that match was just, it was violent, it was uncomfortable,
just like we expected.
Yeah, it was something. And like I said earlier, the Tiffany Stratton match with Lyra Valkyria, I wasn't too hyped about that match, and that match really opened my eyes. Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes, they have obvious chemistry with each other. It's so crazy how this flip of the switch with Attitude has really helped Bron Breakker add a new dimension to his character.
Yeah.
It was just a good show all around. I really enjoyed Battleground. I chose to check out Double or Nothing because it's just...
It's okay. Just let it out.
I'm just so perplexed, it's hard for me to find the right words. You know, Double or Nothing, like you said, it wasn't anything offensive. It was just so
average.
It was very average for that first part of the show. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it was weird.
I've never seen anything like it. How average that show. And then, you know, for the last two matches, they must have been like, we have to go all out. And remember what I said last week? I said the when it comes to the main events, the order of the main events is very important because one is kind of in a death spot. The one going on previous to the main event, you know, like if the one before it has a great match, then the main event has to really ramp it up. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That four-way match was phenomenal.
Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, the finish was creative with MJF laying the belt across Sammy and then Darby hitting the coffin drop, but hitting his head and getting knocked out. Takes him over with the headlock takeover that adds another layer to that story. Yeah. And then Anarchy in the Arena was basically Anarchy in the Arena. It was just nuts.
I will say though, and someone made a very good point. They said the problem with Anarchy in the Arena is that for a while, and I mean, they kind of dialed it back, but I feel like at this point it's kind of too late, that they were just throwing all this extra kind of shit on Dynamite and Rampage. So when it happens on a big pay-per-view, you're just like, okay, we've seen this before. Like we literally saw it in the steel cage match with Mox and Kenny. Mm-hmm. Every time Mox would get touched, he would bleed for the longest time. So it's just like they desensitize their own product. So now it's just like, okay, aside from like, I guess like the exploding shoe for one, that was something else.
Yeah, that's probably like my spot of the night when it comes to that match. I didn't see it coming, and then it was just like spot on. It was
and then the perfect. heel and the tax. I was
oh my god.
30 I counted like 32, I think, tacks in his foot, and I'm like, oh my god. But yeah, it's just like everything else other than that was just kind of like, okay, we've literally seen this the last however long on Dynamite or Rampage, so it's like, maybe don't make your product on the, like, the problem is, it's like, I get that you want to like compete with WWE, of course, and if you want to make it like, oh, this fresh, exciting product, but you got to save a little bit for the pay-per-views, like... Mm-hmm.
You have to justify putting a $50 price mark on it.
Yeah, because then after a while, the show becomes just as good as a pay-per-view, or the pay-per-view becomes just as average as a Dynamite, and then that's your real problem, where it's like, okay, well, we always say, okay, well, if we could have just seen this match that we got on pay-per-view on a Dynamite, it's just like it literally does the opposite, where it's like, okay, this could have easily been on a pay-per-view, so that's not good. It's not
good. Yeah. So as far as the question, I think, depending on where you look at it, if you're grading it on how clean the product was and how clean the wrestling was, I would go with Battleground. Yeah. The spectacle, I think the last two matches
I was gonna say the last half of Double or Nothing was the
The last half of Double or Nothing was the spectacle of a pay-per-view and the spectacle of an AEW show. So it really depends on how you look at it. It's tough because I enjoyed moments of both, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's just, if you want to critique it, you probably would say Battleground was the better show.
Yeah. I think that would be safe to say from what I saw on Twitter. I mean, I saw Bron Breakker's spear mellow in half out of midair. Oh, that was pretty cool.
The sound that it made when they made contact was just bone jarring. It was just ow. It sounded like a car crash. You know? And then just and he barely kicked out of it. Like I said, those two have really good chemistry. Those kind of, they're building up a foundation for NXT, this new generation of NXT that's working very well.
Yeah, I would agree. And speaking of that, Mike's next question is, who should be the first to challenge Mello and Stratton, respectively?
As far as Mello, I don't know if you saw last night, but a couple free agents from the main roster made their way down to NXT. And it looks like Mello's next opponent is one Baron Corbin, who's making his way back to NXT, hasn't been there since the old NXT Black and Gold days where he was the Lone Wolf. I'm really excited for this because I've always maintained Baron Corbin is sneakily very, very good in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And if you give him somebody that's like super athletic like Mello, he's going to shine because he's going to know his part as a big man. And he's not only a big, tall, lanky man, but he's athletic in his own right. So he's just going to be able, and obviously the experience on the main roster is only going to help the match get better whenever that match happens. So I'm really excited for that. Just to see Baron Corbin back in NXT and kind of mixing it up and kind of, if I could imagine for them, the main roster talent, some of them going back to NXT and working with this younger talent, that it kind of feels like the shackles are off a little bit.
Yeah. You know? I would like to see the like Lone Wolf kind of make its way back, because
yeah,
that was peak Baron Corbin back in the day. For sure. So I would like that.
Yeah, I maintained when I first saw Baron Corbin in NXT and he was doing the, you know, like the 5 second squash matches. I was like, this is perfect. Like, it makes so much sense. He just goes in there, does his thing, doesn't talk, gets out of the ring, bam, it's over. You know, it's perfect. It's going to go a long way. And then it kind of morphed into Happy Corbin for some reason. As far as Stratton, like we said, like NXT is very babyface heavy when it comes to the women. So she can, I mean, Gigi Dolin would be great. Roxanne Perez would be great. I wouldn't mind seeing another match with Lyra Valkyria. That'd be pretty cool. You know, so there's plenty of women down there. I would probably put my money on Gigi Dolin. I feel like she's kind of separated since she separated herself from JC Jane and they had that match last night on NXT. You know, she can come out and kind of stake her claim. I think she can be a positive asset for NXT.
I would completely agree with those picks. Is Adam Cole the next challenger for MJF, or are they going to drag out the whole thing with Jericho longer? Unfortunately, I think they're going to drag out the whole Jericho thing longer because we can't help ourselves.
Yeah, they had that mixed tag match happening on Dynamite.
I'm going to see if anything happened while we're talking.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know when they're going to pull the trigger on Adam Cole. Like, I really don't know when it's going to happen. Hopefully it happens soon. Like I said earlier, this is the problem with having that four pillars match, is that like you kind of get three other challengers out of the way fairly quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, you kind of have to look at it and go, who's worthy? You know, and you look at it and you go, Adam Cole definitely should be at the top of the list, but he's got his hands mixed in with Jericho and Jericho doing stuff, which I'm surprised, like I said, that finish at Double or Nothing went down the way it did.
Yeah.
It got no reaction. Like, it literally got no reaction, which is the craziest thing.
It was depressing.
Yeah, I think... when are we going to see I need a break from Jericho.
Yeah. Can you just go on tour with Fozzy for a little bit? That would be fine. I don't know, but it's kind of tough because it's all about timing, unfortunately. So it's just like, is it time for MJF to lose the title yet? I don't think so.
No.
But Adam would be the one to beat him for it, I would think. Selfishly, I would want that to happen, but I feel like a lot of people would want that too, and it would make sense. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll wait till All Out now. I feel like All Out's going to be very weird, especially considering All In's the week before. I'm not entirely sure what they're going to be doing with that, but they're
crazy for that.
That was not a good idea. I hope they prove me wrong, but right, looking at it on paper, it's like you're going to have two pay-per-views within a week of each other. That's not good.
Two different countries.
Yeah, like I just have a feeling that All Out's just going to be a bunch of rematches, and it's just like, okay, whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll be wrong, but it just doesn't look like it's going to be a good idea on paper. Do we see the Usos versus Roman and Solo at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam? Yeah, I'm sure that tore you up, didn't it? A Night of Champions.
Yeah, no, and I don't want to talk about that match just yet because I know we have a question about that match. Mm-hmm. So I'll save it for later. As far as Mike's question there, I would probably, it seems like you could probably, if they build it up good, which I know they will, probably save it for the big show at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but it's also in London, though, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. Damn. So that crowd would be crazy in London.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Roman's going to be there, but I don't know what capacity, but...
Yeah, he's listed right now as to be on the show, so take that for what you will.
I mean, you could see both. You can see them doing more than one match, so why not both?
That's true. They could do more than one match. It all depends on how, like, if they can, they have to really focus on making it sort of believable that, like, the Usos can take this, you know?
Yeah.
And how do you, you can't say that they're face, you can't say that they're heels, they're kind of in the middle. So who do you have them work in between to kind of get them ready for this match? Because you can't have them just rely on promos and backstage segments and things like that.
No.
But yeah, you could do both, or I would save it for SummerSlam, you know?
Yeah.
Save it for SummerSlam, because apparently from what I'm reading, the sheets, they're trying to make this year's SummerSlam as big as WrestleMania.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so they're putting all their eggs in one basket when it comes to SummerSlam. So
sorry, London, but miss out on that, I guess.
I feel like WWE is on a such hot streak when it comes to their premium live events and the quality of their premium live events that they're gonna blow both shows out of the water, and it's gonna be good stuff.
Oh, I hope so. I'm excited for it.
For sure.
Will NXT Europe open this year?
Oh, I don't. It's so weird because it's like half the talent that was in NXT UK is made their way to NXT.
Yeah.
So it's like who do they have? I'm interested to see if it's gonna happen. I think they want to plant their flags in a bunch of different places, you know.
Yeah, and then they tried and look what happened. So it's kind of like try again, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Whew. I know.
It's difficult to tell because if you focus on just the NXT product, there's so much depth and so much depth from people that would probably be on an NXT Europe that you would trust on that show. You know, like a Tyler Bate or an Ilya Dragunov or something like that, or Blair Davenport, who just made her way back to NXT. It's tough. I probably depending on the type of talent, whether they're just taking talent from Europe and not worrying about if they built their names up in the States, I think they could have a viable product. If it happens this year, I don't know. I probably would wait another year. I'd probably wait to 2024.
I would take time and get the talent instead of just rushing into it.
Yeah. Just take the talent, slowly trickle in, like, who is going to be a part of NXT Europe. I think maybe taking 6 months, 6 to 9 months to build up the anticipation for it would be smart. You know, and just go from there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would take the time to market it properly instead of just, oh, here it is, because then if it doesn't go well, they'll be like, well, if you would have just waited. So sometimes patience is key. So I'd say 2024 for sure.
For sure.
A Night of Champions, why didn't Theory have a match if all the titles are supposed to be on the line? Yeah, that's a question, isn't it?
And it's funny because they took a lot of talent that wasn't used on the show. It's kind of like backup. I wonder if Theory went along. Theory's just another perplexing part of WWE, the way he's been booked. You know, he's been booked with this belt. He's had this belt for a long time. But aside from beating John Cena at WrestleMania, there's not been nothing very memorable about it. You know, he's just kind of taking the chicken shit way out each and every time, which is okay because he's a bad guy and that makes sense. But you want to show, it gets old. So you want to see if he's actually, there's some part of him that can just rest on and rely on his abilities to get the job done rather than taking the chicken shit way out.
Yeah, I agree.
As far as why he was not on Night of Champions, the one thing about Night of Champions is, much like NXT Battleground, it was a very simple but very effective, great show. So for them to put a Theory match on there, it has to be against somebody that would have been captivating for the audience, because I think the one thing that was good about Night of Champions was that there was something in each match that had the people captivated. Even the squash match against Natalya, people were just so enamored by Rhea Ripley that they were happy to see her for that 70 seconds that she was out there.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
any second I get to see Rhea is enough for me. So yeah, I get it.
She's a star. But that was the beauty of Night of Champions, was that everything was just so simple, effective. Everything made sense. There were bright spots in everything. But as far as like theory, I don't know if that he probably would have been out of place on the card at this point, because nothing he's doing right now is very compelling.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that, honestly, because it's just kind of he's there.
Yeah.
And you can't just be there for a show like Night of Champions, because they do like to go all out, unfortunately. So, yeah. So he was just kind of he's the odd champion out, I guess.
That's the best way to put it.
With Asuka beating Bianca, do we finally get the right women's titles on each show? I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't know what they're doing at this rate.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Maybe they finally took the title off Bianca, so now that they switch it, it doesn't matter. Like, the record's still there, I guess.
I know Rhea, she's drafted to Raw, but where is Asuka drafted to? Where was she drafted to? She was drafted to SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, so we still have to do the swap if we're doing the... I don't think... I don't know. Maybe they're waiting for people to just forget, and then they just are like, oh, yeah, no, they were always the respective champions. It's like, no, they weren't, but...
Yeah, they can't. And then, like, you had AJ Styles, who's drafted to SmackDown, show up on Raw, and all of a sudden he's in the main event of Raw in the tag
game. It's like, guys, follow your own rules.
Yeah, you gotta stick to it. If you want us to buy into it the next time it comes around, stick to it.
Yeah. Ah, I hate it. Why do they do this? Why do they do this to us?
I tell you.
It's something. But to answer the question, I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we're past that point.
Unfortunately. As if it doesn't hurt enough. With Dakota being hurt, as I need any more of a reminder... Does that delay the breakup of Damage Control? I think it does, because I feel like Bayley and E are kind of playing off, not the injury, but just like showing their love for Dakota. So I feel like at this rate, they kind of can't, because even on their entrance, I mean, they were wearing the shirts, of course. Bayley was doing Dakota's pose. So it's like, yeah, it'd be kind of silly for them to do it now unless... They're kind of suckering us in, and then Bayley like turns on EO, and then it's like, how dare you do this right after Dakota gets hurt? But I feel like it would make more sense to, I guess, do that when Dakota's close to coming back, because then that's a whole other wrinkle in that story where it's like, is she going to take EO's side, or is she going to take Bayley's side, or is she going to say, screw you both, I'm doing my own thing? Kind of can't do that when you're at home rehabbing. So I say yes. But that's just me.
It's you saw the seeds that were planted, and now they would probably have to like negate all that because of injury. Not that it's a bad thing. I probably would have put the belts on them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting that, and they were very, very mad.
I'm not mad. I just think if we're going.
Oh, you weren't. Some people on Twitter were. They were pissed.
Really?
Crying.
So weird.
Cry about it, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so weird, but I probably would have put the belt on them. You know, just to kind of quell that sort of discontent between.
Give them something.
Yeah, and give them something, because like you said, it's kind of hard. They're kind of in limbo right now, so to break them up would be temporarily beneficial for both of them. But then, like when Dakota comes back, it's like kind of like, where does she fit in with everything?
Exactly. You know?
Whereas if Damage Control is still together, she can come back. She still has her group intact, and they can go back to being dominant like they once were. It's just I probably wouldn't break them up. I probably would solidify them as a tag team and have them go on a run and beat a couple people. I don't know how they would make it make sense between Shayna and Ronda. But, you know, it's WWE. They could put their own spin on it, you know, sweep things under the rug like they do, so.
Yeah, they can make it. They can make it work, I guess. But
yeah.
Speaking of Shayna and Ronda, we are going to now move on to Jack's questions. So, Mike, thank you for yours as always. We always appreciate the support. Jack's first question is, will Shayna save Ronda in the women's tag division? You know what? I hope so. For personal, selfish reasons, I hope so. But it remains to be seen, I suppose. You're going to have to get people to actually care besides me. I can't single-handedly help their tag their tag title run as much as I'll try, though. But yeah, I feel like Shayna's gonna have to do a lot of heavy lifting, because I feel like some people are just not having it with Ronda, and they're really not having it with the tag division because it's cursed.
It's cursed.
So I feel like Shayna's our only hope, I guess.
that's an optimistic way to put it. You know, it's just yeah, it's just how much work is Ronda willing to put into it? Because like, she took a shot at the women's division, calling it dismally shallow.
Which, I mean,
she's not wrong. She's not
can't
wrong.
Argue with it.
She's not wrong. But like you said, like we said, the women's division at this point is cursed. They're back to the point where they need bodies.
To kind of
fill spots.
Yeah. Just when we thought that was solved, and we're like, oh, thank God, now we don't have to say it again. Then everybody gets hurt, and we're like, God damn it, now we gotta say it. Now we need the bodies again.
Yeah, which, I mean, if you look, like, there's certain small things that Triple H is doing. Like, you saw the vignette with Candice LeRae. Mm-hmm. He's doing, like, the small little vignettes to introduce people back into the fold and make them relevant, kind of like what they used to do in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. You know, when introducing talent, which I thought was pretty effective. So they're realizing that they have to take these other parts of their women's division and make them more prominent. But the thing is like, at this point, when you take two bodies, mesh them into a tag team, it kind of decreases your room to build other stories, because you're taking two bodies and forming them into one. You know, so like you're trying to build up a women's division with single stars, but you're also trying to build up a tag team women's division, which is interesting, because maybe that was the argument that WWE had for not producing the women's tag team titles, because the story goes like Sasha and Bayley had to really fight for this to happen, because WWE, specifically Vince McMahon, just didn't see it fit. You know, he didn't see a need for it, but they kept nagging him, and he came, and now we have the women's tag team titles, you know? So it's just kind of, maybe he kind of saw the writing on the wall, which is like, you take two bodies, really in this situation, you take four bodies for one program, that's four bodies, you know, that we could have used for two separate programs. And at this point, with the women's division being shallow in depth, you know, it's kind of a detriment.
Yeah, it's not good right now. So
not good.
I can take all the help we can get at this point. What do we think of Maxine joining the Alpha Academy? Jack just can't believe the Maximum Male Models lost yet another manager. They can't keep him.
I wonder why. Maybe it's because of it's a shit gimmick.
Yeah, maybe it's just dumb and they need to just implode it. But yeah, I mean, maybe they are now.
It's a bad gimmick. It's a gimmick that screams 1995.
You know, it's just like Attitude Era.
it's not even Attitude Era. It's like pre-Attitude Era, where everybody is a character. You know, Maximum Male Models would have fit in with Repo Man. Back in the early 90s. It's just in 2023, like, if for some people it works, like, to be a character and to be a gimmick, it works. But it's a very rare chance that it does. People want a sense of realism.
Yeah, we don't, you know? Some of us don't care about male models.
Like, yeah, it doesn't, especially, how can you get male models over in, like, West Virginia? You know? You know, or Minnesota. Like, do they really care Texas. About... Do they really care about male models? Like, no.
No. They don't, and we don't either. Yeah. Unfortunately. Maybe they'll finally leave, but who knows? That is something a little more interesting. What do we think of the pairing of Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark? Yeah, I did not see that coming at all.
I didn't see it coming, but I think it actually works, and it's going to be great for Zoe Stark.
Yeah, we did call it, though. We did say that Trish was going to chicken shit her way to a win, so...
Yeah, I didn't think... I didn't think she was going to have somebody on her side, and then, so like I said, it's beneficial because she's going to take an up-and-coming talent.
Yeah.
She's a Hall of Famer. She can, you know, obviously it gives Zoe Stark credibility, and then when we see Zoe Stark's ability in the ring,
she's good.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. She's very, very good. She was just hitting her stride in NXT, but I think it was a good idea to call her up because she just kind of fits the 2023 model of WWE women performer on the main roster. She's athletic. She's got a look to her. She's got some speed, some power. Her finish is really nice. I just wish she'd kind of clean it up a little bit and try to hit it better on impact.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, yeah, she's really good. And pairing her with Trish, I feel like it's going to work if they let it go a long time, because apparently Trish is going to be sticking around for a while, which is interesting because her heel character's working. She's putting on better matches, I think, with women who can actually go. I think aside from Lita, you know, like you look and like the occasional like Molly Holly matches, she wasn't really working matches where she was going deep in the trenches, you know, kind of like she is with Becky. Becky kind of takes her into that deep water, and it's a similar way it was when she had that match against Charlotte. It was like, oh man, this is a wrestling match featuring Trish Stratus. You know, she kind of got taken to that deep water, and you know, it wasn't the perfect match, but it was still suffice. It was still acceptable. It was still pretty good. And like you said, we predicted that she was going to take the chicken shit way out, and this was perfectly done.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I'm excited to see where this pairing goes, because it can do nothing but benefit Zoe, that's for sure. And Trish, too. Getting this youthful experience with her, so I'm excited to see more. All right, so of course, we have to talk about this again, because Jack loves it, I love it, you love it, Stat is back. Jack is glad she finally got her moment and can't wait for the TBS title to have some fun and fresh mashups for once, finally. Mm-hmm. Who are we excited to see face Stat? Everybody.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's opposite of WWE. Like we said, they have a deep roster. So, like, Stat versus Nyla Rose would be great. Hikaru Shida.
Which is funny because that's actually a match on Dynamite. And I don't know if it happened yet or not, but, yeah, I think it was an open challenge that Stat had, and Nyla answered it. Actually, I think it's going on right now, naturally. But
look at that. I work for AEW.
There you go. See? He's been lying this whole time.
Yeah. I've been going rogue. Just like there's a plethora of women that can go with Stat, and she's an incredible talent. She's a great wrestler. She's always been. She's just kind of been marred by the injury bug, but hopefully that's behind her. She's gonna have a long, meaningful reign, or else it doesn't mean anything when she beat Jade Cargill. So obviously she's at that point where she can have that long, meaningful reign. But like I said, you know, Nyla Rose, Riho, Hikaru Shida, Britt Baker, you know, that'd be great. Thunder Rosa, you know, there's a plethora of women that you can really build a legitimate title reign behind this and not kind of be like a feeder the way it was with Jade Cargill.
Yes, and this is what we've been wanting all along. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I guess you could say, I want to see her and Ruby Soho again, because there is definitely some history right there.
That'd be good.
I mean, Ruby mentioned her by name in her like first heel promos, so she's a little salty about losing the Owen Hart tournament, so that's understandable. Obviously Nyla, but that's already happening right now, and we know what's going to happen, but I want to see how it goes. I just want to see Stat just wrestle in general. At this rate, I really don't care who it is, because Stat's back.
Yeah.
Now to something that's kind of, I don't know, depends on how we think of this. Did Karen Jarrett and Aubrey save the tag title match at Double or Nothing?
I'm going hell yeah.
Yeah, that match is...
I'm be honest with you, watching that match, I was dozing off a little bit.
Which the worst part is that is no fault of FTR. We kind of expected this to happen because let's be really honest here. Was anyone really excited to see Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett in a tag title match, even with FTR? No, I was not.
Yeah, it's
nah. You know, I mean, don't excite me.
I get the Twitter wrestling tryhards were stoked to see Jeff Jarrett, and like I said, yeah. Jeff Jarrett for me is not bad. It's not like a Jericho situation where he's kind of shoehorning himself into the top spot. Jeff Jarrett is kind of like, all right, this is what you want me to do. You want me to be a part of this group in this tag team match? Let's get it done. As far as the match, it was there, you know. And like I said, I was kind of dozed off a little bit, and then, you know, the spot happened. I'm a big huge fan of guitar shots. So when he cracked Mark, I was like, all right, here we go. This is working for me. And then the whole situation with Audrey coming down, Sanjay blocking her, and then she gets clocked with the guitar. I was like, holy shit, they actually did that.
Yeah, I didn't think they would. Well, and could you believe there are people that were actually mad at Aubrey because she was doing this kind of stuff? It's like, so you get mad at referees showing personality? Like, God forbid, I guess.
She was just trying to do her job.
Yeah, it's like she didn't actually get hit with a guitar. Like, damn.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Give her a break.
Those are people, like I like to say, you must be a blast at parties because you're honestly, so much fun.
It's like, okay, you get mad because she's actually expressive during matches. I think it adds to it because then it's like, damn, if even the ref's like, ow, that looked like it was painful. It's like extra painful. So like, shut
Nobody
up.
Nobody complains when Charles Robinson does it.
Literally, you know? Like, go touch grass or something. Like, whatever. I don't want to hear it. That was cool. I'm like, damn, good for Aubrey, but also ow.
Yeah, it saved the match.
It
literally was like the one thing that got me to like wake up. I was
the one thing I remember about the match.
Yeah, it's literally the one thing you remember about the match. You know, everybody getting cracked with the guitar. It's just,
ow.
Can't please everyone.
But no, the match itself was, it was there, I guess.
Yeah.
So Jack's last question was something I was asking in real time as this shit show of a match was going down. Why was Britt late helping Adam and Jamie? Why can't the good guys have friends too? I didn't really think so much during Adam's match. I was kind of hoping they were going to like flip the script where like they handcuffed Jericho to the ropes and like beat on him with the kendo stick. But the kendo stick was good. I mean, hey, she can, I'm not going to go too far into it because we have another question about it, but I was definitely asking that during Jamie's match. I'm like, is anybody going to come help? And then Britt showed up and I'm like, okay, we're missing one more. And then Sheeta shows up. It's like, guys, can you like, you know, hurry up just a little bit?
Step on it.
Yeah. So I agree with Jack. I'm like, why were we acting so slow there? Like, guys, come on. Pick it up a little bit. Your friend's getting destroyed, but take your time, I guess.
Such a weirdly constructed match.
Yeah, but God, that was such a mess. I get that you can only do so much, but God damn, it was just like interference after interference after interference after turnbuckle after turnbuckle. I'm like, this is a little too over the top. You could have done this a lot simpler, and they just didn't.
Yeah, and I don't remember Tony when she got the win. I don't remember that match really getting any sort of reaction.
No, except me. I'm just like, God damn it, this is what they were actually going to do. I mean, it's like we kind of had a feeling. I was just hoping that maybe they could just have Jamie hold the title until Wembley. But someone, again, on Twitter made a good point that if she, hopefully, is healthy by Wembley and goes to rematch, like have a rematch for the title, she's going to have a bigger reaction winning it back than if she would just simply retain it. So I get it. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm like, God damn it. It's just, again, the luck. It's just like, what is going on?
Yeah. Terrible luck.
It really is. So hopefully she will recover in time for Wembley, because the division is definitely not the same without Jamie. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, there were still wheels on her title reign. I don't think anybody was getting tired of it or anything like that. Like, she was a pretty believable champion. So
exactly. The wrestling gods give, and the wrestling gods take it away. We get stabbed back, we lose Jamie, so it's like, Pain, just pain. All right, so that was all of Jack's questions. So thank you, as always, for your support.
Thanks, Jack.
And our final questions and comments of the night come from Mom. So, Mom, thank you, as always. First comment is, the AJ and Seth match was absolutely fantastic, and the right person won, in her opinion. I would have to agree with that.
Yeah. And it was, what was crazy about it was, like, again, this goes back to what I was saying about Night of Champions as a whole. It was very simple. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't let's go out there and do a bunch of this, it was just a very simple wrestling match, a couple high spots, a couple spots that made you go ouch. Like the suplex on the apron spot was pretty good. Like they worked it, but it was just like you saw that chemistry where they really didn't have to do a bunch to get the match over. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes simple is best.
Yeah, it was just like, and the one thing about this match is, like, you couldn't go wrong whether AJ or Seth were winning. Like, it would have been fine either way. You know, but with Seth winning, he's bringing that believability that this is going to be a championship that's going to be a workhorse championship that is going mm-hmm. to be defended and seen often. It's not going to be like the Universal Championship. So he has to match his actions with his words to make sure that this title means something, or else everybody's just going to look at it as a consolation prize.
Yeah, we don't want that at all.
Yeah, don't want that.
But if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Seth. So I think we're in good hands.
Yeah, I think he's going to hold it for a very long time.
I completely agree, and I hope that's the case. All right, I'm gonna let you have the floor with this one, because I know you've probably been itching to answer this comment. The Bloodline storyline, in Mom's opinion, is Oscar worthy writing.
Yes, hands down. Mm-hmm. The best way I could equate it is like that line from Godfather 3, where Al Pacino's like, "Just when I thought I was out,
they pull you back in."
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's literally just like, because even like before the match, you know, if you think about it, I'm thinking about it going, well, like, this could be the end of everything. And, yeah, you know, it had a good run, and it was, but maybe it's time to turn the corner and do something else. And then they construct this match, and you're like, holy hell, what the hell is going on?
That ending, my God.
It was just, it was chef's kiss, because it evoked emotion from anybody that was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when they first came out and they were beating on Sammy and Kevin, I was like, oh, okay, they are here. And then when they accidentally kicked Solo, I was like, oh no.
You're like, then, it's starting.
And then Roman's mushing Jimmy, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh no. And then he gets to Jay, and I'm like, oh no.
You're just like, you're like sinking further back into your seat, because you're like, oh my God, I know what's happening. I know what to happen.
And then when it happened, I went, oh, mother God, what did you? And like Jay's reaction were just phenomenal, because that man has been through so much.
Yes. Yes.
To the point where he's mentally broken. And then on top of that, he realizes now Roman's going to be gunning for him.
Yeah.
And his brother. And he's honestly petrified. Like, he has PTSD from everything that's happening.
I did like Jimmy's line, and I love how I'm just glad that they picked up these, like, the lines that they say in the, when he's like, I did what you should have done, what was it, months ago? I'm like, oh boy. I'm like, oh shit. Yeah.
And then Jay calling out, but he's calling out, he's saying Joe instead of Roman. Like, he's calling Roman by his real name. Like, he still wants to help him. It's just so interesting. Mm. And then it's like, where does Solo fit in all this? Because he's the enforcer, but those are his brothers.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Just when you think that they have exhausted all wrinkles in this wrinkly storyline, they just keep coming. They keep finding the wrinkles.
It was just, it was a perfect way to cap off that show. And that's why I think out of all three shows, I'd probably put Night of Champions up there as the top show.
Yeah.
Because, like I said from the beginning, everything was so simplistic. It was nothing offensive, nothing crazy out of the ordinary. It was just everything made sense. I mean, you look at things like the Gunther versus Ali match. That reaction that Ali got, you know, coming out to that crowd and then having that match. And the one thing about Gunther is, like, everything he does is simple but effective. A body slam hurts when he does it. A chop hurts when he does it. His most athletic move in his entire arsenal is a shotgun dropkick. So you look at that, you see the simplicity of it. Then you have the moment when, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come out, and Sami Zayn is doing the introduction in Arabic. You know, that was just an amazing moment in itself that should be played on for years upon years. I mean, this show top to bottom was just, it was a home run. And then the Bloodline story, like, I can't see where they don't do a really good rating for SmackDown, because everybody's just gonna wanna know what's going on with this. What's the next
chapter in the soap opera?
Oh my God, I can't take it.
you're gonna get to, like, Jay's point at some point. You're just gonna be like, I can't do this anymore. I can't.
He's mentally breaking down.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't envy him in the slightest.
No, I fear for his mental health.
Yeah, I don't think he has much left. Let's be honest. Dr. Baker sure knows how to swing a kendo stick. She was letting him have it.
Yeah,
I was loving it.
That's the one part I was like, when she was swinging on Jericho, I was like, more.
Keep going.
You're just like, keep going.
Make sure he doesn't get up.
Yeah, I was like, keep swinging, because she was nailing him pretty good. And it was believable. And it was definitely the high point of the match. Other than that, like, the match was just average. That's like the craziest part about the show, was it wasn't bad, it wasn't good, it was just average. For
the worst part is, I could see the ending, though. I can understand it, where it's like, Adam just couldn't stop, because sometimes you just let the fate, like, take over, and so I get it. It was just weird.
I think if like, the ref would have did, like, the arm thing to see his arm, if he was responsive.
Yeah,
maybe that would have went over better, because, like,
possibly
then the crowd can see that, oh, he's not responsive, had to stop the match.
It was just kind of sudden.
Yeah, like, he just kind of mounted him, started wailing away, and that was it.
It didn't have that, like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to be the finish. It was just kind of like, oh wait, that's it.
And like I said, it got no wow reaction out of the crowd.
I think,
like,
people were booing, if I remember correctly.
I didn't even hear boos, so maybe there was something wrong with AEW's audio mixing at that point.
Well, and that's the thing too. And I kind of think that it was the audio too, because, again, people in the crowd were saying it was loud. So I'm not sure why people in at home think it's quiet. And then I kind of noticed too, during Stat's entrance, which, as I've watched plenty of times since it happened, you can kind of hear, like, a jump in the audio where it's like, it sounds kind of low and then it, like, goes really high. So it's like, guys, you need to fix the audio, or you need to train the audio guy or something, because something's not working here.
Yeah, it was definitely a hiccup. It didn't translate well on TV. Like, I don't know if, like, they were late letting people in, but, like, for a lot of the first half of the show, there were a lot of empty seats.
Which is a shame, because the end of that Battle Royal was fun. Like, that was such an orange way of winning that match, where he's like, you know what, I'm not going to keep breaking my hand over again. We're just going to, like, kick him off the road. Like, that was just, that was so funny, and it took me by surprise, because I didn't expect him to do it, but I'm like, yeah, orange would do something like that, so... It wasn't bad, but it doesn't help when half the arena is just, I don't know, wandering around the concourse, maybe? I have no idea.
It's just, and like I told you in the DMs, the one thing that was working against them is they're in a tourist area on a tourist weekend.
Yes. Yeah, you know? Vegas on Memorial Day weekend. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good, you know? It happens for many of AEW shows. The only people that really show up are hardcore wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So it's like, having hardcore wrestling fans descend upon Las Vegas during a tourist weekend, that must have been a sight itself, you know. Yeah. And I hope everybody brought deodorant.
Yeah, God, if only. And actually, you know, funny enough, I just I always try to check Twitter just to see if something big happens while we're, you know, recording. And good Lord, apparently Rampage is going to be something this week.
Oh, really?
You got the a triple threat for the AAA Mega Championship. So you got El Hijo del Vikingo against Commander and Dralístico. So that's going to be insane.
Oh, man. The Twitter pundits are going to have, the cornets of the world are going to have fun with this one.
They're going to have a aneurysm pretty much. Funny enough that you know what? We're going to take this. We're going to claim this, that we talk this into existence. Willa Nightingale's going to put the New Japan Strong Women's Championship on the line against Emi Sakura.
Nice.
We did it. We did it, guys. We did the thing.
I like that. And you know what? I like Emi Sakura is like, she's on a mission. She really wants to get on the All In show. Which I think is something simple, but like, if you see her passion for wanting to be on that show, you kind of buy into it. So it's almost pay attention to Emi Sakura, because she's on this mission that she wants to get on the Wembley show, because like she's idolizes Freddie Mercury. Obviously Freddie Mercury has a big history with Queen in Wembley Arena, so like she wants to be there to soak in that moment. So I think like that little story, I think not a lot of people are paying attention to it. They should. It's very interesting.
Yeah, they definitely should. I would like to see her on the show, because she is very, very good. She's another vastly underrated person in the ring, so we need to see more of her. Just when you think that was it, we're not done. The New Japan World TV Championship's on the line. Zack Sabre Jr. is defending against Action Andretti.
All right, okay. I like Zack. He's one of my favorites. Like, he's just a wizard. Jericho calls himself a wizard. Zack Sabre Jr. is just a wizard. The way he can twist you up into a pretzel is just some magnificent stuff. So
it doesn't need fireballs to do it.
Yeah.
And finally, this is just, like I said, this is insane. Katsuyori Shibata is putting the Ring of Honor Pure Championship on the line against Lee Moriarty.
Man, poor Lee Moriarty.
I know. We like Lee because he's like a Pittsburgh boy, but that's a card.
Yeah, I kind of want to see if Shibata is still on that level, because before he was hospitalized with that hematoma that he fucking created himself by bashing his skull into Okada's head, he was on a level that was just like, this man's insane. And anybody that gets into the ring with Shibata is insane themselves. So, you know, I kind of want to see him get back to that if he can. You know, and like, it's a great stepping stone for Moriarty, who's been getting a little bit more TV time, and they can see how good he is, because he's very good. So, yeah, it's going to be good stuff. That seems like a really good Rampage, which is tough, because is it on the regular time that Rampage comes on? Friday?
We actually get a decent time.
Yeah, fine, because they've been jumping back and forth with the NBA Finals and the playoffs for hockey. They've been kind of displaced. Yeah. You know, going back and forth, making it tough to kind of pay attention to. You know, so putting them back on their usual slot is good for them. I'm excited for Rampage now. You got me hyped for it.
And we got SmackDown too, so we got a wild Friday.
Yeah, SmackDown. Oh my God, it's just, I wonder if they're gonna open with Roman coming out.
Maybe. It would make the most sense, I would think. Or make people wait until the end, who knows?
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. I don't know anything about TV writing, so I don't know how it goes, but it's very interesting. I'm very excited for SmackDown. Wrestling is on the up.
Yeah.
You know, despite a mid pay-per-view from AEW.
Yeah.
Wrestling is still on the up.
All I'll say is thank God for DVR. Because if not, I'd be screwed.
Yeah. And then again, they're coming with another show. God. So
it never ends.
Rampage is still going to happen on Fridays, and then Collision's going to be a 2-hour show on Saturday.
God, I hope not, but I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Damn.
Ugh, we don't have the time for this. We don't have the time.
Well, we know Punk's coming back for the first Collision, so at least the ratings for that will be decent.
You hope, because if not, boy, is that going to be something to talk about.
Yeah, that's going to be a big talking point. If they don't hammer a decent rating. But other than that, you know, it's like, what's the next step afterward? Because Saturday, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, I believe it is.
Saturday, I think so.
Like, for me, I'll be watching because I have no life. I don't leave the house.
Yeah.
So I'll be watching for sure. But I can't imagine people with lives and social lives and friends and stuff like that. Like, no, I got to stay home and watch this wrestling.
Yeah, right. Sorry, guys. I can't hang out. I can't go to dinner. I have to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll
that's
see.
Not going to translate well.
We'll see what happens, but who knows? I mean, of course, we've been talking about this ad nauseum all night, but I will mention it again. Congrats to the new TBS champion. Glad to see Stat back. Yes, of course. I mean,
Stat.
Like, that's going to be, that needs to be the title of the episode, something with Statlander. our Lord and Savior's returned. Yeah. And then kind of talked about this one too. Our thoughts on Double or Nothing. Mom was kind of like, about it, which, yeah, I feel like, the only thing I really remember is Statlander and the first, last two matches. That's about it.
the point is the reason this is such a should be a big topic is, again, this had a $50 price tag on if you're ordering on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, in this economy.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing is worse than a wrestling fan being like, I paid money for this. Like, that's it.
Right. Right, at least, like, you know, if WWE puts out the same level mid-show, it's like, it was only $10 a month, you know. We'll wait till next month because they have a monthly pay-per-view, you know? With AEW, they have a pay-per-view every 3 months, you know? But
yeah,
again,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, but again, like, this, in this economy, you know, $50 is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. That's why apparently you go to Dave and Buster's and watch it for free, kind of.
But I would feel weird. Like,
my thing would be too. We always get our stuff on Bleacher Report, which is like our thing because then you get the replays if you know want to watch it again. Like at some point, if I have the time, I want to rewatch All Out from 2021, I believe. That would have been Stat and Britt, but yeah, that would have been the problem. Like, if we would have went to Dave and Buster's or went to the movies to see it, which that was a whole mess in and of itself, in 22, that was a mistake.
Yeah, because there were some technical issues with that, I remember you saying.
Yeah, and Mom will never go to do that again, which is fair enough. But yeah, if you go to the theater, you go to Dave and Buster's, yeah, you might get to, like, be around other wrestling fans, but you don't get to rewatch it unless you buy it.
Yeah.
So you're going to be paying regardless. So yeah, it's just easier just to get the replay of it and just buy it, just get it over with. But you also could see how you'd be mad where it's like, really? That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, you got to justify that price tag that you put on pay-per-view in 2023 in this economy with so many people just struggling to keep their head above water. You know, $50 is a luxury in my life.
Yeah.
You know,
that could be more House of Black shirts.
Yeah, that could be House of Black shirts. That could be anything. Emergency fund money, bills. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. If it was a good show, if it was a great show where every match delivered, you know, $50 is no problem. But when you have literally half the show, or maybe even more than half, because the only compelling parts were the last two matches, you know, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
It's not good at all.
So, I mean, I think more people would buy pay-per-views if maybe it had like a $25 price tag to it.
Maybe, yeah, but then would that affect the quality of like the show itself, where it's like, okay, well, it's more accessible to people now, so you don't really need to, like, I don't know, I guess wow them. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see your, I see what you mean, but I would hope that wouldn't be the case.
I mean, you would hope not. Then what are you doing owning a wrestling company if that's your mindset? But I mean, stranger things have happened, but yeah I don't think we're ever going to lose that price tag, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and then there, Nick Khan likes to float around the rumor, oh, we're going to be maybe moving back to that pay-per-view model. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be doing that.
And yeah, it's like stop.
Nobody really thinks about the common man.
Yeah, it's like, you know? No one asked for that.
Yeah, nobody thinks like, how does this hurt the common people who are the ones coming out to our shows and coming out and buying our merch and the ones that pay for their Peacock subscription, because they're like, $10 isn't going to kill me. $50 is doing some damage.
It might,
You know, so it's just like, you know, when you put that price tag on it, you have to deliver. You have to deliver. And there's no excuse not to deliver, because you don't have the shackles that WWE has on them.
Exactly. You know,
you're the rogue one in all of this. You built your product on, we're going to do things our way, cater to the hardcore wrestling fan, and now you can't backtrack and go, oh, we need to get more casual people in here. You know, you can't. You're in way too deep.
Exactly. So if,
like, you switch your product up to cater to one subsect of wrestling fan, you're not going to have a good time.
No, not at all. I will say I find it hilarious that you could see the priority difference between you and me, where I'm like, yeah, that could be like more House of Black stuff. And you're like, yeah, or bills, or like emergency fund stuff. It's like, all right, well, that's fair enough.
No, but it's like, You work, and you work very hard, you know? And so it's different, whereas like most people don't know, being that I'm disabled, I don't work, so I live off my disability. My disability comes one time a month.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, this is the month for an AEW pay-per-view. Shit, I gotta put aside $50 for this.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, if I'm literally almost falling asleep during an FTR match.
Yeah, who would have thought?
There's a problem.
Yeah, not good. not good.
There's a problem there.
Yeah.
And it could have been card construction, the way the card was set up. It was just...
The crowd, maybe. The sound mixing of the crowd.
Like
I said, that's the best way to put it.
I'm just perplexed by the whole situation, you know. And I hope, because I'm obviously going to go back and watch this Dynamite and see what they did. I hope because you also got to remember Forbidden Door. It's like almost like Forbidden Door is being forgotten about because of All In.
Yeah,
you know, and then
so
like
they got to deliver.
And then you said that they're going to do All Out a week after All In.
That sounds like what they're doing, yeah.
That is...
They're walking a fine line right now, so they're gonna have to deliver these next few months, because...
Yeah.
We don't want this to be a trend.
And then All In's probably gonna have that $50 price tag.
Oh, probably.
And then you're telling me All Out next week is gonna have that same price tag?
Better not.
That's insane!
Yeah, that's yikes. That one better. Oh, if they were smart, maybe they should just make that like a Battle of the Belts kind of special TV show, maybe. Oh my God. They were smart.
What are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. They're ambitious, I give them that, but sometimes it's like, dial it back a little bit, because you might shoot yourselves in the foot, and hopefully that's not the case, but who knows?
AEW starting to confuse me, man. I don't like this.
We don't want that. Oh boy. Before we get more confused, that was the last of Mom's questions. So thank you as always.
Thank you, Mom.
I think we made it. I think we survived.
We survived. We made it through. I was anxious because we originally were going to recap each individual match. Ugh. And that was just we would have been here forever doing that, and that's a daunting task. But I'm glad that the questions that we got kind of hit on everything, and we are able to hit on the main topics of the week. So all in all, you know, shout out to our supporters, our loyal listeners who always mm-hmm. help us. You guys really are the ones that are helping us develop this great content. And like I was saying last week, we're coming up to our 100th episode. This is episode 83. So we're coming up to our 100th episode, which is just crazy to think about.
I 100 know. Episodes,
and we're no signs of slowing. It's just, it's been crazy. Like our individual progression when it came to this show from where we started to where we are now is just kind of like, this is like easy riding, you know?
Yeah, it's insane. It's crazy that we're almost there, but still got a ways to go, but we'll get there.
Yes, definitely. So, just to let you guys know, if you made it this far, thank you for listening to the episode. Make sure whatever platform that you use to listen to your podcast, you hit that subscribe button for the Ringside Rundown podcast. It's available through Anchor FM, and they distribute the podcast to various platforms like Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Apple. So basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you search the Ringside Rundown, you'll be able to find it and hit that subscribe button. If you can't find it, just hit us up on social media. We're available on Twitter and Instagram at Ringside Rundown, same handle, so you don't get confused. You can let us know, hey, this podcast is not available on my platform. We will find you a link so you can listen to the podcast on a silver platter. Make sure you give that silver platter back because it's very expensive. We only have one. So make sure, again, you follow us on Twitter for all live updates when it comes to the show. Every week, like I said, one of us will post up a tweet asking you guys to send in questions because that's what we do here, and that's how we try to differentiate ourselves from other wrestling podcasts. We leave it all open to you. We want to hear what you guys think, so send in your questions, comments, opinions, rants, whatever. As long as it's wrestling related, send it in, and we will talk about it on the show. So it's like an open door for you guys to be a part of the show. Yes. If you want to talk to me individually, you can reach me on Twitter at WrestlingChron. That's Wrestling C-H-R-O-N. Shay, where can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHickson21, talking all things. I mean, Sunday, anybody who watched my Twitter knew what I was yelling about, but it was a good time. So yeah, I'd like to think my Twitter is not all over. I mean, it is all over the place, but in the best way possible. So yes, you're into that.
It's a lot of fun. Like you said, you just celebrated your birthday, which is awesome. I hope you had a good birthday, all that good stuff. Yeah, so I think we got all the important stuff out of our way. Why don't we get the heck out of here?
Yeah, let me go get ready for work all over again tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't envy you at all. I don't envy you at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, unfortunately.
Yeah, so for Shay Hickson, my name is Eric Vasquez. This is the Ringside Rundown Podcast. Thank you for checking it out. See you on the next one, guys. Have a good night.
See you later, guys.